have no gifts of the Spirit other than the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I'm warning you in the Holy Ghost, the Spirit is grieved. I wrestled with this for hours, and here I come. Don't try to hinder me because you won't get it done. I'm going to tell you in the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God is grieved. Some of us, He has done great things for. And we have been rather stingy with our praise and with our worship and with our gratitude and with our gratefulness. Would you pray with me once more and raise your hands? Would you ask God to forgive you for your unthankfulness? Would you praise Him again tonight for what He's been to you? Preach tonight on your first love. Please be seated. In a review of what God has done, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, saith 1 Corinthians 6:9. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, could I get an amen?
Amen.
Nor idolaters.
Amen.
Nor adulterers.
Amen.
Nor effeminate.
Amen.
Nor abusers of themselves with mankind.
Amen.
Nor thieves.
Amen.
Nor covetous.
Amen.
Nor drunkards.
Amen.
Nor revilers.
Amen.
Nor extortioners.
Amen.
Shall inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And such were some of you. And such were some of you.
Amen.
But ye are washed.
Yes.
But ye are sanctified.
Yes.
But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And by the Spirit of our God. Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Matthew 25:41 tells me hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Yet I was going to go there if I did not separate from my sin. My sin was going to separate me from my God. But He delivered me.
Amen.
He washed me and cleansed me. He let me have His blood and His name, His Spirit, His Word. And the least I can do is love Him. Amen. 22:15 Revelation speaks of the New Jerusalem without our dogs. And sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. For those who have had their experiences with dope, the two places in Revelation 21:8, 22:15 where sorcery is referred to comes from the Greek word from which our modern word pharmacy, or one who traffics in drugs, has its derivative. Now what am I saying? Without me trying to castigate or embarrass anybody here, I want to say God Almighty has forgiven us of all kinds of filthy sins. And the least we can do is let Him know we appreciate it. And one of the Pharisees desired Him that He would eat with him. I introduce to you a Pharisee, the strictest of the religious sect of Jesus' day. They crossed the T and dotted the I in the Mosaic Law. He gave Jesus an invitation to come home and eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment with this simple announcement: a woman in the city, which was a sinner, is a direct reference to her ungodly, immoral life. Without the least hesitation, I feel the scriptures paint her as a harlot, scum, one who has sold her body. Unless some of you look down your hook-billed nose of studied arrogance at those who have lost their morals and sins, cesspool. I want to say again, there but for the grace of God go you. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, which was perfumed, very costly, and she stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with her tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head. Some of you women haven't got hair long enough to wipe anybody's feet. Don't laugh at me. This is not a laughing matter. Your femininity has been sacrificed on the altars of expediency. You've lost your place God put you in this world for. Amen. The scriptures tell us, 1 Corinthians 11:15, if a woman have long hair, it's a glory to her. And she took her hair and began to wipe his feet with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet. You lousy, proud hypocrite. I have felt your spirit. You sat on that bench and don't worship, adorning it much like a useless relic of the past. Could I beg you, yea, implore you tonight? God has done such great things for you. The least you can do is worship Him. You don't come to church to be seen. You don't come to church for an office. You don't come to church to sing. You don't come to church to parade your talent. You come to worship Him. To worship Him. To worship Him. Peer pressure, crowd psychology, the intimidating power of satanic influence will paralyze some of you, as it has in this revival, night after night after night after night. Maybe your face will be frozen in that perpetual silly little Mona Lisa smile. I come to you as a dying man to dying people. You better get with it. You better forget who you're sitting by. You better forget who's in this building. You better forget who's going to know about it. You better forget what you're going to look like. You better forget what you're going to smell like. And you better turn loose and praise God. For if you don't, a drunkard off the street, a harlot from the other side of the town, will show us up in our little pompous piety. It's I have discerned this night after night. Some of you stink. You think because you don't smoke a big black cigar and you don't run around with someone else's wife or husband, or you don't shoot dope, you're all right. You're not all right unless you worship God. I said you're not all right unless you worship God. He did not create you for you to sit there like an ornament. He created you to worship Him and to praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you say, I feel nothing. how sadistic. You think you have to have the elation of a spirit to lift you off that pew and clap your hands together? You don't have to feel anything. Love appreciates what has been done. And whether it feels or not, it displays that appreciation. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. It cost her an awful lot. And stood at his feet behind him weeping. Pity the church that weeping will mess up the schedule of events. Pity the preacher that cannot allow a sobbing sinner to come to his altar and pray. We've lost our identity of a church if we cannot take time out and let a sinner find God. And I say, let him find God in the song service. Let him find God in the choir singing. Let him find God in the preaching. Oh, I know you're not going to like this, and I couldn't give the snap of my finger two hoops and a bar tonight. You can't fire me because you didn't hire me. And I'm going to preach what's on my heart. I don't care what you think. Some of you sitting here tonight are pharisaical. You stink. You rotten, backslid, unthankful wretch. You stink. God's been so good to you. Got a good family, a good job, roof over your head, making good money, wearing good clothes, and you sat there not worshiping. And you sat there with your mind on a Kmart Blue Light special. And you sat there on a fishing trip or buying a new car or a new dress or something's going to happen tomorrow. Oh, God, maybe it'll take a harlot coming into our midst, sobbing and crying, showing us how to worship, showing us how to be thankful, showing us how to pray. I know this will not get me any popularity, but I'm not in a popularity contest. She stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with her tears. Some of you, it's been so long since you cried. Since you cried at the way you threw your life away, and some of you done just that. You threw it away. And in your moral self-pity, you sat down feeling sorry for yourself. God help you. Sorry for yourself is not religion. Your weeping ought not to be for your self-pity. Jesus is the only friend that you'll ever have that completely understands you. And began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Didn't care how much it cost. You materialistic financial devils, all you got on your mind is how much revival costs, or how much it costs to build a church. Money, money, money. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I am not apologizing, but I am making a remark. If we spend hundreds, yea, thousands, and only one repents and is baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins and receives the Holy Spirit, it'll be worth every dime. Corporation symbol, you know. Do we get our money's worth? You need another trip to the first love. You need to go back to where you first found God. Would to God a videotape could have been played of when you found the Lord. Some of you paralyzed Pauls and timid Toms and backward Bettys and froze up Franks. Some of you need to have a videotape played of the dastardly, dirty condition the Lord found you and brought you out and saved your old hide. He ought to play it in front of you how he forgave your fornication and forgave your homosexuality and forgave your stinking lying and forgave your smoking
and your drinking and your dope using, and forgave your stealing, forgave your filthy mouth, and forgave the way you were doing. Man, if you could see yourself, you wouldn't sit there. You'd say, God, forgive me. I'm going to go back to my first love. I'm going to start worshiping like I used to worship. I'm going to start going to church like I used to go to church.
When the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, spake within himself, saying, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. For she is a sinner. You get the slur? Toucheth him. That Pharisee thought just the brush up against his garment of such a woman as this was beneath his dignity and holiness and righteousness. And we cloister ourselves within our walls and have inbreeding going on all the time. When there's a world out there that's lost, that's unclean, on bar stools and dens and dives and sitting on couches watching a Saturday night movie, when they need to be in church feeling what we're feeling tonight and having what we're having tonight. But we're afraid they might brush up against us. Jesus ate with publicans and harlots. He loved the sinner and hated his sin. We never know how to make the distinction. It's beautiful the Lord loved me and loved you enough that he allowed us to come into his presence and ask for forgiveness. I say with all the accumulated humility I can muster, I'm grateful for the chance to go to heaven. I'm grateful for the chance to go to church and to clap my hands and to raise my hands and to sing and to pay my tithe and to support a revival and to build a church for the glory of God and to pray with seekers at the altar. I'm grateful for the opportunity. I don't counter it and count it a drudgery nor a chore. I don't count it something that I have to force myself. I was glad. I was glad. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. For she is a sinner. Sinner. Talk about the Hindu and their caste systems all you want, you lousy hypocrites. Some of you got your own personal caste system. Don't sit down and look at me that way. You're a liar. Fire me tonight. You can't do it. The wrath of God will come on your hide. Ichabod will go over your door. You need to lose your personal prejudices. Don't sit down and tell me that you don't have them. You got them. We think we're just a little bit better than anybody else. Look at me. I'm holy. I'm righteous. I'm a woman. I wear long dresses and long hair. Don't have jewelry. My sleeves are down to here. Up to my neck. Look at me. I'm a man. I dress righteous. My hair is short. I'll see how righteous you are when you come to church and you sit there and say, with your attitude, entertain me, preacher. Come on, get up there and do your thing. Entertain me, choir. Entertain me, special singers. Come on, pastor, keep the jokes rolling or I won't come back to church. You lousy hypocrites. If there's not a
sincere love in your heart for God, you'll backslide and go to hell. For your love is not dependent on anybody else serving God. You've got to love Him if no one else loves Him. And if the one that sits by you don't love Him, you've got to love Him anyhow. And if the one sitting by you don't want to worship, you've got to worship anyhow. And if the one sitting by you don't want to pray, you've got to pray anyhow. I said anyhow. I said anyhow.
There needs to be a trip back at the altar and a clearer understanding of what Calvary really means, and the fundamentals and the elementary understanding of the rudiments of the gospel. What does it mean? It is not softball games and horseshoe tournaments and peanut brittle factories, nor is it new buildings with towering steeples, pipe organs and trained choirs, and ACE schools. There's a more deeper meaning to Calvary than that. Calvary means my fornication can be put under the blood. My drinking habit can be put under the blood. My old lying spirit can be put under the blood. My stealing spirit can be put under the blood. My harlotry and my homosexuality can be put under the blood. And all the ungodly things that I've done can be put under the blood. But if Christ loves you, He loves the black just as well. And the white, and the red, and the brown, and the rich, and the poor, and the high, and the low, and the educated, and the illiterate. He loves them all.
Clap your hands if you dare to. Clap your hands if you dare to tonight.
Oh God, you've got to help us in the Holy Ghost. Take us back to our first love. Get us out of this straitjacket. Oh God, deliver us from this monotonous repetition of a rut that we're in, God. Our minds are numb from just going and sitting and not actively participating in the service. Oh God, forgive my lousy, cold-hearted love. I'm going to go back. I'm not going to let the devil tell me I can't worship. I want to thank you for everything you've done for me. How you put my family back together and you forgave my horrible sins and dig me out of a horrible pit. Lord, I'm not going to think I'm any better than anybody else. Oh, but God, you've loved me and helped me and answered my prayers. You've healed my hurts and bound up my broken heart. And you've set at liberty my captive spirit. And you have given me a song in the night. You have put clapping in my hands, running in my feet. You have blessed my spirit. I want to thank you. I want to thank you. I want to thank you. If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. But there she was, weeping, washing his feet with her tears, wiping them with the hairs of her head, and kissing his feet. Kissing his feet. That's beneath some of your women's liberation. And it's beneath some of your macho masculinity, too. Me? Fall down prostrate and kiss the Savior's feet? If you're going to take your feet and walk the street of gold, you better be kissing His feet. And she anointed Him with the ointment. Matthew 26:6 and Mark 14:3 and John 11 verse 2 and 3 and John chapter 12 verse 3 all I feel correlates the same story, possibly another, but the point is she took this ointment, which was very costly. You hear me, Stingy Sam? Do you hear me, you Scrooge that don't want to give money? And if anything costs a little extra, you whine and complain about it. Like others in his entourage have said, for what purpose is this waste? It's wasteful. I don't think when you worship God, you're wasting time. I don't think when you sing, "What a friend we have in Jesus," I don't think you're wasting time. And Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." Isn't that cool how the Lord knows us? And he saith, "Master, say on." "I'm all right. I'm religious. I have nothing to fear. I didn't commit adultery with my neighbor's wife today. I'm holy. I didn't get drunk last Saturday night. I haven't been down to the massage parlor. I haven't been sneaking into the pornographic shop and reading the hardcore stuff. I got nothing to worry about. There's no skeletons in my closet. Master, say on." There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." Simple. And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loveth much." "For she loveth much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." Now what is this saying? Can you apply it to your heart? To the countless times you've come to church and have sat with Jesus and have not kissed his feet or anointed him with ointment or thanked him for what he's done for you. Can there be some way we can apply this to our forgetfulness of not praising him for what he's done for us? "And her sins, which are many, are forgiven." Do you believe that Jesus knew every one of her sins? Do you believe he could have revealed every one of her sins? Do you believe he knows every one of your sins? Do you believe he could speak tonight and reveal every stinking dirty thing you've ever done? Then I ask you, why do you want to act, wear a costume, a false face, and a mask? Why are you going to sit there as if you have never been unclean, when you know down in your heart how dirty and filthy you have been? Why don't you somewhere lose that intimidation and forget what people think about you and say to yourself, "Self, we're going to church tonight and wash Jesus' feet. Self, we're going to bring an alabaster box of ointment, and in it's going to be a bunch of hallelujahs and praise the Lords and thank you Jesuses and clapping hands and raising hands, and in it's going to be vehement vocal worship, and in it is going to be unrestrained love. And self, we're going to open up that alabaster box and we're going to anoint him and we're going to tell him how thankful we are for bringing us from sin, from iniquity, from uncleanness. And we're going to wash his feet with our tears, and we're going to wipe his feet with the hairs of our head, and we're going to tell him how much we love him." It is axiomatic enough to be permanent, inscribed in Scripture. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. I have but one deduction to make, and I don't want to finger point anybody, and I really don't care that much what you think about me finger pointing anybody. I feel in the Holy Ghost tonight, the Spirit is absolutely grieved at some of your stinking self-righteousness. But I'm going to tell you something, just as your friend, there's a whole bunch of you loveth little. No question about it. Why don't you understand? You don't have to be a harlot to go to hell. You don't have to be a murderer or a whoremonger to go to hell. Why don't you understand? 1 John 3:4, sin is a transgression of the law. Basically describes sin as doing anything God should not do. And when some of your filthy tongues gossip and slander, envy and strife and division and maliciousness and jealousy, and you think you're so holy because you didn't fornicate today, or you wasn't a homosexual, or you didn't shoot up drugs, and you come and sit and love little. Why don't you get a clear understanding? Sin, no matter how inconsequential, will separate you from God. Why don't you stand in the presence of God and say, "Forgive me, Lord. I'm going to take this nasty old hide back to my first love. And I'm going to have a contract with my hands." You see, hands, from now on, we're going to clap. You get it, boys? We're going to church and we're going to clap. You see this hands? We're going to raise and we're going to praise His name. You hear me talk tongue? From now on, we're going to worship Him. We're going to praise Him. We're going to glorify Him. We're going to lift Him up. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, oh, yeah. I'm not the least bit ashamed to tell you I'm glad the Lord has forgiven me. I'm not the least bit ashamed to tell you I'm glad I got mercy and not justice. I'm not the least bit ashamed to tell you, were it not for the blood of Jesus Christ, I would probably be in a Christless grave tonight. I'm not the least bit ashamed to tell you I was a nobody until He made a somebody out of me. I'm not the least bit ashamed to tell you it was the blood and the name and the Spirit and His Word that's made me what I am. I'm not the least bit ashamed to confess to you without Jesus, I'm a worthless wretch on my way to hell. But I am going to tell you, I belong to a church that was started in Acts chapter 2 by a bunch of drunks. And some of you persnickety, fastidious, debonair, chic, sophisticated individuals that stink with your spiritual paralyses. Oh, I'm a church member. Well, I want to tell you something about your roots. If you're a New Testament church member, your founding fathers started the church drunk. Hallelujah. On the Holy Ghost. And you mean to tell me you don't want an inebriated preacher in your pulpit, but you want somebody, you know, that's suave and can roll the R's and can use all the descriptive adjectives that Shakespeare would run off and solve. And you don't want a drunk in your pulpit. I say, give me a preacher that's drunk. Drunk on the Holy Ghost. Give me a song leader that's drunk. Give me a choir leader. Give me a piano player and an organ player that's drunk. Give me a Sunday school teacher that's drunk. Give me a leader in the church that's not afraid to get drunk. Drunk in the Holy Ghost. Drunk on the presence of God. Drunk in worship. Drunk in praise. Drunk on revival. Give us somebody that's not ashamed to be a New Testament apostolic. To be a Pentecost. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
praise God, praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God.
To me, even Mary, the epitome of decorum, the mother of the flesh, was present on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. Acts 2:4 said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the mocking crowd a few moments later said, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." Mary was staggering, evidently looking like she was drunk on wine. Some of you sophisticated ladies are so afraid that you'll ruin your mascara, or you'll ruin your Avon makeup, or you'll ruin your Crawford hairdo. I would to God you'd shout it down or off one of the two. I would to God you'd get with the program. I would to God you'd worship Him. Forget who you are. Forget what you are and praise Him. Amen, amen, amen. You gonna let me preach? Or are you gonna try to sit on me? I said, you gonna let me preach? I would to God tonight, Lord, now I'm your servant, trying my dead level best to do your will. Now you do as you please. But I would respectfully request a bunch of these froze up, precise, dignified, self-righteous people. Lord, I wouldn't care if you put a herky-jerky on every one of them. If you just got a hold of them and shook them so much, shake all the change out of their pockets, maybe a can of Levi Garrett, who knows? You'd shake them. Oh, I done got some of your spirit discerned. You say, I don't believe in all that shouting and all that emotionalism. Like I said, you don't realize your church was started by a bunch of drunks. Don't sit there and look at me so dignified. It's the Bible. It's in Acts chapter 2. And if you're ashamed of Holy Ghost expression, you're not a Christian. I'm trying to come on. You sit down. I don't worry about the likes of you. I mean that no reflection. It's these others that still are setting. Still are setting. You've been setting for years. And bless God, you're still going to set. Ain't no hot shot of vans that's sweeping through for 2 weeks going to turn me around. Sit down while revival marches right on by. Sit down while the blessings of God leave your doorstep. You better hear me, Apostolic Church, 6 in Dakota. If you want revival, you better start loving much. You better start loving much. Much. Pull the stops out. Put the pedal to the metal. Go for broke. You better start loving much. If you are grateful for the Lord forgiving your sins, would you say thank you, Jesus, as loud as you can?
Thank you, Jesus.
All of you men standing, or sitting here, rather, if you're thankful for some of and awe of the horrible things that God has forgiven you. You stand up and say, thank you, Jesus, three times. You brethren, sit down. You ladies, if you're thankful for all of the forgiveness of all the dirty, rotten things the Lord's forgiven you, you stand on your feet and say, thank you, Jesus, three times. A short time further and conclude. Why is it it's almost always a woman that has to tenderly express her emotion? And men in Scripture have reserved themselves and locked up their emotions. I suppose environment and education has taught us as men that we don't show affection. Now, what you do on the outside in your intrapersonal relationships is your business. But when it comes to Jesus, you need to unlock that door. Come on, brother. Don't let the women put us down in worship. We men ought not to feel ashamed to wash His feet with our tears. We men ought not to feel embarrassed to kiss His feet with our love. We men ought not to feel ashamed to raise our hands and to thank Him for all that He's done for us. And He said to her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? If I had more time, I'd like to preach about who this is. For you see, none of us want to kiss just any man's feet. None of us just want to make obeisance and prostrate, falling before just anybody. The fervency of South America and the cults of the Far East have taught us Westerners that we've come away from that heathenism. And so, we don't want to kiss any man's feet, but he's not just any man. He is more than Mohammed. He's more than Buddha. He's more than Confucius and Zoroaster. He's more than Plato and Socrates. He's more than Abraham Lincoln and George Washington. He's more than Alexander the Great. He's more than a Caesar and a Tsar and a Pharaoh. He's more than a Beethoven and a Mendelssohn or a Chopin or a Tchaikovsky. He's more than a Shakespeare or a Tennyson or a Longfellow. He's more than any other individual. He's God with us. He's God with us. He was the sea walker and the blind eye opener. He was the leper cleansing man of Galilee. And we need to love Him, for He can forgive sin. He can forgive sin. He can forgive sin. He can forgive sin. He